readings for this evening. The first reading is Genesis and chapter 5. I'm afraid that I put the wrong reading or the wrong text in the weekly news sheet. That's my fault, so please ignore that. Genesis and chapter 5, first book in the Bible, and we're going to read from verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. When Enoch had lived 65 years, he became the father of Methuselah. And after he became the father of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Enoch lived 365 years. Enoch walked with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. And when Methuselah had lived 187 years, he became the father of Lamech. And after he became the father of Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had other sons and daughters. Altogether, Methuselah lived 969 years, and then he died. That's our first reading, and the second reading is found in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews is in the New Testament. Hebrews and chapter 11, if you've got one of the church Bibles, it's on page 1209. 1209. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 5 and 6. 1209. Hebrews chapter 11, then in verse 5. By faith Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And then one more reading. It's found in the book of Jude, which is the second last book in the Bible. There's no chapter reference because there are no chapters. I can only give you the verses. So Jude, verses 14 and 15. Again, this is about Enoch. It's on page 1231. Jude then, verses 14 and 15. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against them. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Peter, can we have the first picture, please, up on the screen? There we have it, a group of walkers. I'd like to begin by asking you, what is the furthest you have ever walked in one day? What's the furthest you've ever walked in one single day? Well, Brian, you were telling me, I think it was on Tuesday night, that for a time you used to walk from Seven Oaks, was it?
Yes, I walked
to Otford.
It's about
10 miles. You've walked farther than that, okay. But a good 10 miles. Anybody else? What's the furthest you have walked? Ken. 11 miles. Very good. Okay, in Somerset. Well, I was on a walking and cycling weekend last weekend, and I was in one of the walking groups. The walking group that did two short walks rather than two long walks. I did a walk on the Friday and a walk on the Saturday, and I think both walks were about 6 miles long. The group that did the long walks, I think, did about 10 to 12 miles each day. But you know, as we walked together on the North Downs, not so far away from here, I got the opportunity to talk to people, to share something of my life with them. Some of them shared something of their life with me. And well, it was a good time of Christian fellowship as we walked along the various footpaths together. The next picture is the lady I'm walking through life with the most closely. You know, we share our lives together. We share intimate details about our lives with one another. There's nobody else on the face of the earth that is walking through life with me more closely than Joanne, my wife. Tonight, once again, we're thinking about people who walked with God. In other words, people who talked to God and whom God talked to. People who enjoyed fellowship with God. Last time we were meeting like this, we talked about a man by the name of Adam. He was the first man to live on this earth. God put him in a beautiful garden named Eden. And we saw how that Adam quite literally walked and talked with God there in the garden, because God appeared to him as a man, what we call a theophany. This Sunday evening we're going to be thinking about another man in the Old Testament who walked with God. And his name is Enoch. Enoch, the man who walked with God. Now on the next slide, we've got some details about Enoch. And let me just quickly run through these details. I've already said that he was an Old Testament character. He lived before Noah and the time of the flood. He belonged to the seventh generation after Adam, so he didn't really live that long, did he, after Adam? And he had sons and daughters. One of his sons was named Methuselah. Who was reading the passage carefully? How old was Methuselah when he died? Samuel. Oh, you're almost right. You're in the right sort of region. Did you want to have a look? You're at the wrong end of the Bible. It doesn't matter. I'll tell you. 969 years. The oldest man, as far as I know, in the whole of the Bible. Well, Enoch was a prophet of God. He was a man who spoke for God. In fact, he spoke very boldly for God during a time when there was great wickedness upon the earth. And he warned people about abandoning God and going their own way. And, well, we read something from the book of Jude, which gives us a bit of an idea of the kind of thing that Enoch said. Let me read to you these verses. Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about them, that is, evil men. See, the Lord is coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones to judge everyone and to convict all of them of all the ungodly acts they have committed in their ungodliness, and of all the defiant words ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These people are grumblers and fault finders. They follow their own evil desires. They boast about themselves and flatter others for their own advantage. Enoch, many, many years before the first coming of Jesus, prophesied even about the second coming of Jesus, which will be the great day of the Lord when he will judge men and women for their evil deeds. So he was a prophet of God. He lived for 365 years, which I think sounds a long time to us, but actually it wasn't a particularly long time in the days in which he lived. Remember, Methuselah, his son, lived for 969 years. He walked with God for 300 years, so not all the days of his life, but for the most part of his life, before he was taken by God. What does it mean when it says that he was taken by God? Well, we'll think a little bit more about that in just a while. But this evening we're going to be talking about a man who walked with God. And his name is Enoch. Well, it's a wonderful thing to walk with God. It's a wonderful thing to walk with the Lord Jesus and to know him in a personal way. And our next song picks up on this thought. It's number 723 in the praise hymn books, and it's entitled All I Once Held Dear. Let's stand and sing. Peter, can we have the next picture, please, up on the screen? It's the slide that says Enoch, the man who walked with God. It's the second one of those, if there's one more to go. That is the second one, is it? I didn't see. Thank you. Enoch was a man who walked with God. Now, there's someone else in the Bible that lived around this sort of time that is also said to have walked with God. Any ideas as to who that might be? Noah. That's right. If we've still got our Bibles open at Genesis and chapter 5... we can look to Genesis and chapter 6, and in verse 9, this is what we read. I'll just give those sitting along the front row a moment or two to find it. Genesis and chapter 6, and I'm reading from verse 9. This is the account of Noah. Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. How did Enoch walk with God? Did he walk with God in the same way that Adam walked with God in the Garden of Eden? I don't think that we can say he did, because Adam in the beginning was without sin and able to enjoy God's immediate presence. When we talked about Adam, we talked about how that God and Adam quite literally walked in the garden together. Did Enoch walk with God in the same way that I walked with lots of Christian folk last weekend on the cycling and walking weekend? I think we must say no. So how did Enoch walk with God? Well, the answer to that question, I think, is found in Hebrews chapter 11. And we read from Hebrews chapter 11 a little bit earlier on in our service. What's that chapter all about? Well, it speaks of lots of different people throughout the ages, Old Testament saints who lived by faith. Enoch, I want to argue this evening, walked with God by faith. What does it mean to walk by faith? The New Testament says that we walk by faith, not by sight. Well, let me try to illustrate that. Samuel, you've volunteered to come out and help me. Do you remember that? Thank you very much. So come over here and we'll blindfold you. Okay, can you see through that? No? Are you sure? Good. Okay. Let me just... okay. Is that okay?
Yes.
Is that going to hold up?
Yes.
Okay. Now, your walk this evening is going to be a walk of faith. Let me ask my first question. Do you believe that I exist?
Yes.
Yes, that's good. And are you willing to put your faith or your trust in me?
Yes.
Okay, that's good. Because I'm going to call you to trust in me and to walk in the way that I want you to walk. All right? Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay, well, what I'm going to do is I'm going to direct you back to the safety of your seat. Okay?
Yes.
Ready? Okay. So, I want you to take three steps forward. Okay, take one more step forward. That's great. Now, turn towards the congregation. That's great. Now, I want you to take another three steps forward, but before you do, the lectern will be just on your right-hand side. Okay, it's there, but I don't want you to get hold of it. You might knock it, but I don't want you to get hold of it, all right? So, three small steps forward. That's great. Well, I think you can take another two steps forward like that. Okay. Well, another step forward and you still won't be at the edge. Okay, right. Now we need to be careful. What I want you to do is just move one foot forward a little bit until you feel the edge. All right? You're on it there. Okay. So move both feet now onto the edge. Okay. Now be very careful. There is nothing on the floor in front of you, but I want you to carefully step down. That's great. Now, will you shuffle a little bit to your right? A little bit more? A little bit more? And that's about right. Now, one small step in front of you. Okay. Now, right in front of you is your chair. If you reach down, right in front of you is your chair. All right. No, straight in front of you. That's Naomi's chair. That's it. And now you can turn round and sit down and take off the scarf. That's great. Okay, that's great. That is what I would call, thank you Samuel, a walk of faith. Enoch walked with God by faith. He believed that God existed. He believed the truth about God. And he sought to listen to God and to go the way of God. And of course, as he did that, he spent time talking to God. He enjoyed a relationship with God. He never saw God with his eyes, but he fellowshipped with God. As he walked with God and talked to God. How do we begin a life of walking with God? Well, the Bible, I think, is really clear. We begin walking with God when we hear Jesus' voice through the Scriptures, not audibly, but through the Scriptures, to believe in him as our Lord and Savior and to follow. And it's as we trust in Jesus or believe in Jesus as our Lord and Savior and respond to him, to follow him, that we begin to walk in fellowship with God. And it's a wonderful thing. It's the best thing ever. Now, there was a hymn that I wanted us to sing this evening. And I couldn't find it in any of the hymn books, and now I can't find it on top of the lectern. So where has it gone? Ah, here it is, hiding under my notes. I want to read the chorus to us, and then after I've read the chorus, I'm going to invite us to close our eyes so that we can make the rest of the hymn our prayer. Here is the chorus. It says, follow him, yield your life to him. He has conquered death, he is King of Kings. Accept the joy which he gives to those who yield their lives to him. Now, if we can close our eyes, and if you feel able to pray using these words, do please be encouraged to do so. I want to walk with Jesus Christ all the days I live of this life on earth, to give to him complete control of body and of soul. I want to learn to speak to him, to pray to him, confess my sin, to open my life and let him in, for joy will then be mine. I want to learn to speak of him. My life must show that he lives in me. My deeds, my thoughts, my words must speak all of his love for me. I want to learn to read his word, for this is how I know the way to live my life as pleases him in holiness and joy. O Holy Spirit of the Lord, enter now into this heart of mine. Take full control of my selfish will and make me wholly thine. Well, we're not going to sing particular hymn, but we are going to sing another hymn that speaks of walking with Jesus. It's number 663 in the Praise Hymn Book, though the words, of course, as always, appear on the screen in front of us. We know the tune to this one, so let's stand and sing it through together. If we haven't already got our Bibles open at Genesis in chapter 5, can I suggest that we have them open just for a few more minutes? And I'd like us to read verse 24, Genesis chapter 5 and verse 24. This is what we read. Enoch walked with God, then he was no more, because God took him away. Let me put somebody on the spot here. I hadn't really planned to do this. But Ken or Sheila, would you mind just reading out what it says in the King James version, nice and loud? Thank you. That's great. What does it mean, do you think, when it says here that God took Enoch away? What does it mean? Well, maybe we can have the next picture, please, Peter, up on the screen. Because this picture will help explain what never happened to Enoch. You see, people live, don't they? And then they die. But Enoch didn't die. His body didn't see corruption. God simply took him to heaven to be with himself, which sounds rather nice, doesn't it, when you think about it. Can you think of anybody else in the Old Testament that had the same experience, or at least the same kind of experience? Elijah. We've got a picture of Elijah. I don't know whether that's exactly what it looked like. But Elijah was taken up to God without experiencing death in a whirlwind. And Elisha was able to observe this happening. Now, whether Enoch went up to heaven in a whirlwind, I don't know. We're not told how Enoch was taken. Nevertheless, he didn't die. He was simply translated, if you like, into heaven. Now, I think that Enoch's story impresses upon us two things. The first thing I think it impresses upon us is that there is life beyond this life. That there is life beyond this life. Now, one of the things that I get to do from time to time as a pastor is to take people's funerals. And it's very interesting the way in which families tend to speak at funerals. Sometimes a Christian family is 100% certain that their loved one trusted in Jesus and went to heaven. But sometimes there is a family and they don't know what happened to their loved one. They've got no idea really at all. And sometimes you hear them speaking along these lines. Well, we don't know what's happened to them, but we hope that they're up there somewhere looking down on us. Or sometimes a family will be completely devastated. Because as far as they are concerned, there is no life after death. Their loved one has died, and they will never, ever see them again. And they are totally devastated. A few weeks ago, I was talking to a gentleman in the village. And I meet up with him from time to time, and we talk about all sorts of things. But on this particular occasion, I thought, well, no, I'm going to, you know, try and speak a word for God into his life. And so I asked him the question, do you believe in life after death? And he said, I suppose you do. And I said, yes, I do. I believe that there is a heaven and a hell. And he said, well, no, I don't think so. He said, when we die, we just go to sleep, don't we? Isn't that the end? Well, maybe there will be an opportunity to talk further with this man another time. But Enoch's story shows us that there is life beyond this life on earth. Now, there were other Old Testament saints who also believed that there was life beyond this life on earth. If we turn to Daniel and chapter 12 and verses 2 to 3, we can read what it says there. It's on page 899. 899. Let me read to you what it says. Daniel 12, verses 2 and 3. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. And then let me also read to you what it says in Job chapter 19. It's on page 522. Job 19, verses 25 to 27. Job says, I know that my Redeemer, or my Saviour, lives, and that in the end he will stand on the earth. He's talking about Jesus at the end of time, standing on the earth. And then he goes on to say this, and after my skin, my body has been destroyed, yet in my flesh I will see God. I myself will see him with my own eyes. I and not another. How my heart yearns within me. So Enoch's story tells us that there is life beyond this life on earth. But also, and I'm going to finish with this evening, it points to what will happen on the day when Jesus comes again. Now, if you have got your Bibles handy, do let me encourage you to turn to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians and chapter 4. It's on page 1183. That's 1183. I beg your pardon, 1184. 1184. Oh, I beg your pardon, that's Colossians, isn't it? I'm sorry. I was just about to read it as well. 1187. Just a few pages on. 1187. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Starting to read at verse 14, so again, one page over. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep, that is, those who have died trusting in Jesus. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have died or fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and with the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. And after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Let me say in brief what I think is being spoken about here. Those who have already died trusting in Jesus are with Jesus now, not in body, but in spirit. One day Jesus is going to come again, and those who have died trusting in Jesus will have their bodies resurrected. Their bodies will join with their spirits and they'll be caught up to meet with Jesus in the air. But those who are still alive when Jesus comes again and are trusting in him, well, they will be caught up too to meet Jesus in the air. They'll receive resurrection bodies and they will walk with Jesus forever and ever. Enoch's experience points, I believe, to what will happen when Jesus comes again. I didn't walk with anyone famous over this walking and cycling weekend. I don't know whether you've ever walked along the road with anyone famous. I sat down to a meal once with Alan Hunter, who I think is famous, but maybe none of you know who he is. But one day, if we know and love the Lord Jesus, if we're trusting in him, if we believe that he died upon the cross to pay the price for our sin before rising again, we will be able to walk and talk with him forever and ever. And that will be the greatest thing of all. By faith, we can walk and talk with Jesus now. But there's coming a day, if we know and love the Lord Jesus, when we will quite literally be able to walk and talk with him forever in heaven. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Well, let's finish, shall we, this evening. My singing together, There Is a Higher Throne. Let's stand and sing before we pray.